I'd like to welcome each of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and ask that you would lift our brother, Elder Benny Case, up in your prayers. I know that he's studied and prepared in the Word, but I think most importantly, his heart and mind is full of the desire that he would bring us what God wants us to hear, that the things that we would hear would truly edify us, would give us courage and strength and be what the Lord would have for us to hear. So let's pray for him, that his mind would be open, his tongue would be loosed under God's command. And that also lift each other up in your prayers, that we might understand, that we might truly take these things in, be able to apply it to our lives. And with that, I would give you your brother and mine, Elder Benny Case.
Thanks, Jerry. You know, as I went through, you know, thinking about topics and things, you know, and we've just gone through Thanksgiving, and it's a day set aside for us to express our thankfulness to each other and to God. And I got this link this last week, and the author. You know, we talk about somehow people getting misguided, and the author of this link had a lot of facts, and it was about Thanksgiving and the fact that the holiday was set up, and you know, to celebrate that first harvest of the Plymouth colony, and you know, some things, but then. Then he went off into a rant about how unjust white people have been to Native Americans, and how unjust many peoples have been to other people who stood in their way. And so then he ended up in this thing where we shouldn't celebrate Thanksgiving because it's a government holiday and governments are foul. And he totally missed the point of what it means to be thankful. And I read that and it was like, okay, I understand, and he has his facts, and I understand why you would see that and you would say, let us not be the kind of people who are thankful one moment for our friends and for those who have helped us, and in the next moment turn against them for our own personal gain. But you know, so I thought, well, maybe what we need to really understand is what it really means to be thankful. I mean, how does thankful look? You know, we so often get caught up in this, you know, where we pray, you know, and I'll just talk about me, that way nobody has to feel bad. And sometimes I get trapped into this prayer of gimme, gimme, gimme. And then I say please, and then I go thank you, thank you, thank you for the things that I've received, and that's good because I guess I have some, you know, basic manners. I say please and thank you, but I'm not really looking with a thankful heart to see how I may be of service. So the first thing I'm going to read this morning is Psalm 100. It's a very short psalm, but it talks about really where we need to be and where our focus should be. And again, this is Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. And yes, I'm putting a little extra emphasis on this, and I'll talk about it in a minute. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And the reason I put so much emphasis on he, him, and his is because none of it is me, mine, and ours. And so often, you know, I'd like to read you King Benjamin, but I'm not going to have time to do that this morning. But the having a constant remembrance that the very breath we breathe in and breathe out isn't ours. The air we breathe is a gift. Everything that we have is a gift. And none of it truly belongs to us. You know, we have things that are ours in this world, like a house and a car and a good job. But all of the things that we have are by the grace of God. And so, to a very great extent, it's really not ours, but God's, that he has allowed us to have. I want to turn over to Jacob, the third chapter. Over in the Book of Mormon there, chapter 3 of Jacob. And page 175. Now behold, it came to pass that I, Jacob, having ministered much unto my people in word, and I cannot write but little of my words because of the difficulty of engraving our words upon plates. And we know that the things which we write upon plates must remain, but whatsoever things we write upon anything, save it be upon plates, must perish and vanish away. But we can write a few words upon plates, which will give our children and also our beloved brethren a small degree of knowledge concerning us or concerning our fathers. You know, and he's talking about, you know, I wish I could put more down here, but it's just too tough and time consuming, and there's lots of words been spoken, there's things been written on stuff that rots. The only thing I can do is write it on these plates to keep it, and we can only write a little bit. Now, in this thing we do rejoice, and we labor diligently to engraven these words upon plates, hoping that our beloved brethren and our children will receive them with thankful hearts and look upon them that they may learn with joy and not with sorrow, neither with contempt concerning their first parents. For this intent have we written these things, that they may come to know that we knew of Christ and we had a hope of his glory, many hundred years before his coming, and not only we ourselves had a hope of his glory, but also all the holy prophets which were before us. Behold, they believed in Christ and worshiped the Father in His name, and also we worship the Father in His name. And for this intent we keep the law of Moses, it pointing our souls to Him, and for their cause it is sanctified unto us for righteousness, even as it was accounted unto Abraham in the wilderness, to be obedient unto the commands of God, in offering up his son Isaac, which is a similitude of God and his only begotten Son. Wherefore we search the prophets, and we have many revelations and the spirit of prophecy, and having all these witnesses, we obtain a hope. And our faith becometh unshaken, insomuch that we truly can command in the name of Jesus, and the very trees obey us, or the mountains, or the waves of the sea. Nevertheless, the Lord God showeth us our weakness, that we may know that it is by His grace and His great condescensions unto the children of men that we have power to do these things. Behold, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord. How unsearchable are the depths of the mysteries of Him, and it is impossible that man should find out all His ways. And no man knoweth of His ways, save it be revealed unto him. Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God. For behold, by the power of His word, man came upon the face of the earth, which earth was created by the power of His word. Wherefore, if God being able to speak, and the world was, and to speak, and man was created, then, why not able to command the earth or the workmanship of His hands upon the face of it, according to His will and pleasure? Wherefore, brethren, seek not to counsel the Lord, but to take counsel from His hand. For behold, ye yourselves know that He counseleth in wisdom and in justice, and in great mercy over all His works. Wherefore, beloved brethren, be reconciled unto Him through the atonement of Christ, His only begotten Son, that ye may obtain a resurrection according to the power of the resurrection which is in Christ, and be presented as the first fruits of Christ unto God, having faith, and obtained a good hope of glory in Him, before He manifesteth Himself in the flesh. And now, beloved, marvel not that I tell you these things, for why not speak of the atonement of Christ and attain to a perfect knowledge of Him, as to attain to the knowledge of a resurrection and the world to come? Behold, my brethren, he that prophesieth, let him prophesy to the understanding of men, for the Spirit speaketh the truth and lieth not. Wherefore it speaketh of things as they really are, and of things as they really will be. Wherefore these things are manifested unto us plainly, for the salvation of our souls. But behold, we are not witnesses alone in these things, for God also spake them unto prophets of old. And I'm going to stop there. But what, you know, Jacob is trying to get across to us is the fact that the whole purpose of them writing was so that we could receive it with thankful hearts, being grateful for what God has done for us in giving us this tremendous opportunity. And to help us to remember that we are not God's counselors, He is ours. And that we need to remember that He knows and we're just learning. And that we need to respect and honor the things that God has given us. And that the gratitude that we express to God, to a great extent, is our service to God. That's how we express our thankfulness. I mean, saying thank you is a good thing, and we should always say thanks. But the question is, how often do we show thanks in doing the difficult things that God asks us to do? When we see an opportunity to do some good, it's like, well, you know, it could be a little bit embarrassing. I'm not sure that I really want to step out here because, you know, I might look silly. And the fact is, sometimes we look silly. But that's okay. Not that we should make a habit of trying to make a fool of ourselves, because that's not the point. It's just that when we feel that prompting of the Spirit to step out and to say something, to lend a helping hand, that's how we express our thanks to God, is by doing the things that He gives us to see to do. And, you know, we even went over that a little bit in Sunday school this morning about doing the things that need to be done. I'm going to go to Colossians in the 3rd chapter. And I have the whole chapter marked. Now let me just read the whole chapter. But again, this is how do we show our thankfulness? How do we express thanks in a meaningful way? And so it's chapter 3 of Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let your affection on things above, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And I like how he kind of wraps that up. He put all of these things together. Here's how you treat each other. Here's how you act on a daily basis. Put on this charity, which is the bond of perfectness, which, you know, is that true love of Jesus Christ, that thing that binds us together. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Because so oftentimes I see people, and I hopefully I'm not this way, and if I am, I hope I can change, where we make our service to God a hardship, where it's like, you know, oh, I'm trying so hard to be righteous, you know, just really getting me down. And it shouldn't. It shouldn't ever get us down, trying to be righteous. We should be thankful that we have all the helps that we have, the blessings that we have, the ability to encourage one another, to strengthen each other, that we have prayer where we can take the heavy burdens of life and instead of carrying them on our shoulders, we can lay them at the altar and walk away. So in our thankfulness, let's go ahead and finish out the chapter here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. But I wanted to kind of back up, you know, here in our conduct again. I'm going to take us back to our jobs or our schooling or whatever it is that we do day to day. Because to a great extent, those are our masters and we are servants according to the flesh. And that the things that we do on our job, the things that we do in school, shouldn't be for appearance, for eye service as men pleasers, but in the singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatever we do, do it heartily as to the Lord. The reason being is that it's rare in life that we go through an entire schooling experience, or that we go through an entire career experience without having an instructor or a manager or an executive who is nearly impossible to get along with. But rather than resorting to doing what they want grudgingly, or mocking them behind their back, or doing what we can to try to make them look bad, if we focus on doing what they asked us to do in such a way that God would be happy with it if it were something that He had asked us to do, then we can go home at the end of the day knowing that we did our best. And that's just one of those things that begins to create this attitude within us that whatever our outside circumstances, we need to be driven from within with, for lack of a better expression, we need to be driven within by the Holy Spirit to the dedication of doing whatever we do to the very best of our abilities to do it. Not doing just barely what needs to be done to skate by. And that doesn't mean that we need to be, you know, rich or powerful or anything else. That means that if we're sweeping floors, that our floors are the cleanest floors in town. You know, it's an attitude. It's a personal commitment to excellence in whatever we do, not a seeking for personal glory. And I want to go, is that what we were reading in Sunday school? Did we read that? 1 Timothy chapter 4? Just happened to think of that. Let's go look at 1 Timothy.
Now this is
a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. But, you know, I want to kind of go back and talk a little bit about what's being said here is, you know, it talks about bodily exercise profiteth little. I mean, we exercise our muscles and our muscles get stronger. And it profits us in that way. But godliness profits us both in the blessings that we receive just simply because of what we do, the feeling that we get in knowing that we did something good, and in the promise of the life to come. So it helps us in every aspect of our life, both our life here, our physical life, our spiritual life here, and the life to come. And if we kind of work on these little pieces every day, putting them in our lives, put them in our hearts, because they are gifts. And we don't want to neglect these gifts. God gave us these gifts. We need to be thankful for these gifts, and we need to put them to work, because that's how we express our thankfulness to God, is by putting to work the gifts that He's given us. He goes, you know, to a great extent, it goes back, although I'm not going to read it this morning, it goes back to the parable of the talents. That those who use the talents that they were given to profit by them. And here's the talents, the gifts that we've been given, and we should profit by them to become more obedient and more steadfast, more faithful, more encouraging to our fellow man. Those are how we express our talents and putting them to work, not saying, well, I got them, you know, so I'm going to hide them to make sure I don't ever lose them. You know, and go back to the little parable about the candle, that, you know, you don't put a candle under a bushel, you put it on top of the table so it gives light to the house. It's whatever you have, whatever God's given you, use it, because it doesn't do any good. Just like a candle, you know, or a light, you know, you say, okay, I got great lights in my house, but I just don't ever turn them on. Well, that's not doing much good. We need to use what we've been given and use it with that spirit of thankfulness, and in so doing we express to God how truly grateful we are. And I was going to read another scripture, but it's kind of the one on the opposite end that says, okay, how bad things are for those who are not thankful and what they've done. And I don't want to go there today. I want us to focus on stepping forward, of taking this season that we've just gone through of Thanksgiving for the bounty that we have, especially the way the world's going right now, and to focus ourselves on the little things in life that we have and moving forward with that and using those gifts that God's given us to demonstrate to God our thankfulness. And our, and in so doing, we'll even get more blessings and we'll have more to be thankful for. And I thank you for your time this morning, and I trust that the words that I felt impressed to bring to you will encourage you and help you in your struggle. I'll turn it back over to you, Jerry.